forgiveness, and karma. Anatomy of harm and forgiveness. Forgiving someone who has caused us pain or suffering is at first difficult. Animals have a natural fight or flight instinct to immediately attack anything that hurts them or to run far away. Retribution is instinctual. Humans have this instinct too. We additionally have the intellectual capacity to reason at much higher levels than animals can. Humans also have an instinct toward justice and balance. When we are wronged, we feel something is amiss in the universe. Something needs to be adjusted. Amends need to be made. Balance and wholeness need to be restored. This human desire for balance is good. It is just. It fosters spiritual growth individually and collectively. Forgiveness seems to run contrary to our urge for justice. Yet forgiveness is also a hallmark of spiritual maturity. How can forgiveness and justice both lead us toward goodness? Remorse and repentance. When most people realize they've hurt someone, they feel sad, regretful. Remorse is natural. It is the first step in repentance. Apologizing is the next step, expressing regret and communicating a decision to not repeat the harm. Acknowledging one's culpability is important not only to help the harmed to feel better, but also for the harm doer, for truth and integrity. Apology sets the record straight in the conscious mind. It is not sufficient remedy in itself, but it is an important part of remedy. Restoration. When someone has done harm, there is a need for whomever and whatever was harmed to be restored to wholeness. An injury needs to heal. Property needs to be returned or repaired. Untrue words need to be publicly retracted. Malice needs to be admitted and withdrawn. Restoration is designed to make the situation whole again, to repair damage. Penalty. A penalty hopefully compensates the harmed for their suffering, discourages the harmdoer from harming people again, and dissuades others from similar behavior. Punishment can be imposed by the harmed person or socially by a tribal, religious, or government authority. Penalty, after restoration, is designed to encourage people to choose to not do harm in the future. A choice to never do a certain action again requires a deep inner commitment, an act of will. When people demonstrate to themselves and to others that they refrain from repeating the harmful action, they become more responsible and honorable community members and are justifiably proud of their increased self-control. These two steps, restoration and penalty, are outer. They can be externally imposed. The other important aspects of forgiveness are inner. They involve attitudes of mind, heart, and will of the harmdoer and the harmed. These cannot be imposed or forced. They are within the domain of each one of us. Personal forgiveness. When one has been harmed, one naturally feels a desire for retribution, for the harmdoer to suffer. At least, one feels resentment. This arises out of our normal animal fight response. In fact, imagining the harmdoer suffering releases dopamine, a hormone that makes us feel good, although actually seeing the harmdoer punished does not. When we relinquish this instinctive desire for retribution, we personally forgive. This frees us of a tremendous burden of carrying the harm around. It also frees us of resentment, which we can otherwise carry around forever. It doesn't directly affect whomever we forgive. It doesn't erase the action from history. It doesn't eliminate the need for restoration, penalty, or social consequences. It doesn't require us to be a doormat. Releasing resentment is always wise. Forgetting what happened is always foolish. Personal transformation. When we realize we have done harm, we normally feel sad, remorseful. We want to rectify the situation. If we go deep inside and make an act of will, a commitment to ourselves to not do it again, and reduce the influences or traits that induced us to do the harm, then we deliberately become more moral. We grow spiritually. We actually change. We transform ourselves. No one else can do this for us. Only we can do it by choice. Forgiveness by anyone else cannot cause us to change. Transformation does not start with lip service to repentance, an empty apology, "I'm sorry," without an inner commitment to refrain from repeating it, is a fraud. The universe, our source, God, is not fooled, and we should not be fooled either. Growth and transformation are part of the purpose of life on earth. As souls, we mature, develop self-control, and garner wisdom. Physical experience is so valuable. Hurt and harm. When someone feels hurt, it doesn't necessarily mean they were actually harmed. People can feel hurt or offended due to their own opinions, beliefs, emotions, prejudices, or history. If other people wear a particular color, point their feet in one direction or another, write in capital letters, or use a word or make a joke with completely innocuous intent, in such cases, people may actually feel hurt, but their feeling is not caused by anyone else. We usually feel that emotions just come over us, but actually they are voluntary. It is rare that an event or person actually causes someone's emotions. When one is physically injured, the pain is not optional. But adults are normally responsible for their own emotions. Children do not yet have the mental strength and confidence to distinguish and place responsibility where it belongs, so they can be hurt by others emotionally. But adults do, and they have no justification for holding other people responsible for their own feelings. A few actions are inherently emotionally hurtful, such as breaking a commitment. This disregards and disrespects the person to whom the commitment was made, and can be materially harmful as well. An intent to insult or denigrate someone can also be emotionally hurtful, even if it doesn't do any damage. It's also possible to be harmed without even knowing it, in which case one doesn't feel emotionally hurt at all. If someone's funds are embezzled and one doesn't find out, one is still harmed. Subliminal images do substantial harm to individuals and to entire communities, even though most people are completely unaware of them. Mind control and evil magic do harm, even if the targets are unaware of it or believe they're not vulnerable to it. One can also endure actual harm unfazed, without feeling any emotional hurt whatsoever. One can simply repair the damage and not feel hurt emotionally. We are also naturally more tolerant when someone, like a child, doesn't know any better or is incapable of doing better. Whether we feel emotionally hurt when we are harmed depends on the harm doer's intent and ability, and on our own clarity and maturity.